Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf tzaddik, and we're holding at the very top of tzaddik, Amud Aleph, the second line, Lema Derava Tanoihi. However, since we happen to be in the middle of a sugya, we'll just go back for a few moments to the beginning, which is on Pei Tes Amud Beis, roughly 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara quoted two brises. The Gemara starts off, Lema Takonas Usha Tanoihi. That famous Takanas Usha that we've been talking about for the last couple of days, that if an Isha decided to go and sell her Nechse Melug while she's married to her husband, although Min HaTorah she has that right, because she, after all, is the owner of the Nechse Melug, all he has is the rights to the income stream, what we call the Peros. Very good, Shkoyach. In Usha, they made a special Takana, that habal moitzi miyad halakuchais. Why is that? Because of the fact that it caused a certain amount of eva, enmity between husband and wife. Which way? Because the husband, when he married his wife, one of the rights, one of the monetary rights that he had is that if and when she predeceases him, chas v'shalom, that he'll yarshin her, v'yarash oisa. And that includes whatever property she owns, including the Nechse Melug. What happens, however, if she sells the Nechse Melug whilst they're married? That means that they no longer belong to her. They belong to the Lokeach. And now, after she passes away, it doesn't go to him, to the Baal. It belongs to the Lokeach, because the Lokeach bought it. It's true he didn't have the income stream until now. Now he will get the income stream because there's no longer a marriage. The husband is no longer entitled to pay this from his wife. His wife passed away. So he's going to lose that entire Nechse Melug and the income. You can imagine this could have caused a certain amount of sinna and eva. And the Chum said, okay, she wants to go and sell it. It's void ab initio. Habal moitz mi'al kuchais. Rashi says he's like the lokeach rishoin. He's first online and he takes the property.
So she would have to get divorced in order to accomplish that.
Why does she have to get, I mean,
to get
accomplish
rid of
what?
Selling the property.
She wants to sell the property now, I mean, in case she wants to get around the Takanas Usha.
Right.
That's right. She'd have to wait until he either gets a get, or Chas V'Shalom, he passes away, and now she's an almana, now she can go and sell it to whoever she wants.
Is there, before they get married, can she make a dispensation that whatever I bring in is mine and I'm not, or there's no, like, prior to them, like, I guess amongst the Tanaim? Could she
obviate the Takanas Usha?
She could obviate the Takanas Usha, presumably by making it into, let's think about this for a moment, not bringing him to the marriage in the first place. Let the father keep it in some sort of trust account on her behalf and say, it's not my daughter's as long as you're married. And so therefore, whether she'd be able to sell it or not, I guess you have to speak to legal experts whether you can somehow work some sort of framework. But the purpose of the Konas Usha was obviously not to try to do these runarounds, but rather that the husband should have the income stream whilst they're married and to get the nechosim, the actual title, the Karen, after the marriage terminates, through her passing away, he would yarshin her. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara. So, Lema Takonis Usha Tanoi. Let us say that it's, in fact, a Machloikis Tanoim. Where do we find a Machloikis Tanoim? The Tani Chana. One Brisa says, Avdi Maluk, of course, are Nechse Maluk, but they're not pieces of Karka. They are Avodim. What's the din by an Evid? An Evid, if you have an Evid Kanani, Vavodi Lo'olam, he belongs to you forever, unless and until the Rabbi goes and knocks out the Shein or Ayin, or for that matter, any one of the Chof Dalet Rosh Evarim. At that point, the Eved would go free. Question is, who is the Rabbi? Who is the owner of this Eved? Is it the husband? Is it the wife? Is it both? Or is it neither? And we have two brises directly on point. The Tani Chodim, Avdi Malug, Yoitz B'Shem V'Ayin Li Isha, Avloi Li Ish. Because the Pasuk talks about that if a person went and Eshein Avdoi Yapil, Ein Avdoi. Avdoi means his Eved. Who's the owner of this Eved? First Price says, she's the owner. Because the husband only has the income stream. He doesn't own it. It belongs to her. The other bride says, loyli ishva, loyli isha. Really, the eved does not go out either when he knocks it out or when she knocks it out, because neither of them is the real owner for purposes of the din of shein v'ayin. So obviously we have a stira between the two brises, because the first brise says she does go out with isha. Second brise says not even for the isha. Both of them agree not for the ish. However, the gab of the isha is a machlokes. Savrua, so we assumed, says the Gemara, the kuli alma kinyan peiros lav ki kinyan guftami. Kinyan peiros means the one, the owner of the income stream, which is the husband, lav ki kinyan guf. And if that's the case, then I understand in both brises why the husband is not moitzi b'shein v'ayim, because he's not the owner. He's lav ki kinyan guf. My lav v'alkemet v'gib, what is the machlokes? Demand the yom of the isha that she, the eved does go out if the isha punched him and knocked out the shein v'ayin. Why would that be? Because let's say tekanas usha. He does not hold of the tekanas usha. And if there is no tekanas usha, it means that she has all of the rights of an owner, with the exception, of course, of the income stream, the payrois. But otherwise, she is the real owner of this eved. So if she knocks out the shein or ayin, then boom, then the person goes free. However, madiyam v'loyliish, v'loyliisha, isle tekanas usha. And therefore, because the husband's rights undermine her rights, how do they undermine her rights? Number one, she's not getting the income. But number two, she can't even sell the property. What value does a property have to someone if you don't get the income, and if you don't even have the right to go and sell it to someone? So although legally she's the nominal owner, but if she can't sell it and she can't get the income, ashvach ownership. That being the case, it's like the Karazusha, and that's why, even if she would knock out the shein v'ayin, the eved does not go free. So that's a nice explanation, the machloikis of the two brises. To Malay, I have a new explanation. The kuliyam is the tekanah susha. Everybody holds the tekanah susha. Elakan koydim tekanah, kan liyacha tekanah. Depends when this brisa was written or codified. In the case of one of the brises, it was koydim tekanah, meaning the first brisa that says that the eved goes lecheiris based on a punch out from the woman, the owner nechsev lug. This was before the tekanah susha. So at that point, she was able to go and sell this eved to whoever she wanted to. So that shows she's the owner. If she's the owner, she knocks out the shein v'ayin, he goes free. The second brayis is talking about liachar tekanah. After the made tekanah, neither he has exclusive rights, nor does she have exclusive rights. He only has the right to the income. She doesn't even have the right to the income or to the sale opportunity. She's just the nominal owner. That being the case, his ownership or his tekanas usha undermines her rights, and therefore the eved doesn't go out lecheiris by either one. Or I have another pshat. They're both talking after tekanas usha. The islu tekanas usha, and both of them agree that there was a tekanas usha, and it was accepted by Klal Yisrael, and therefore that's the halacha. Okay, so now let's understand. According to Bani Yama, that holds loy li'ish. V'loy li'isha, that makes a lot of sense, because he only has kinyan peiros, she's a lav kinyan guf, and her kinyan is a shvacha kinyan, she can't even go and sell it. But what about the first price of Bani Yama li'isha v'loy li'ish? My time, what be the reason that she can go and free the eved based on her shein v'ayin? I, after all, she doesn't really own the eved. She has no income and she can't sell it. So why the isha? And for the Gemara Kid of Rav, the Omer Rav, Hegdish, Chomet V'Shechur, Mafkin, Midei Shibud. What happens if a person gave a lien, for instance, to pay a choiv, a person borrowed money, and he borrowed money and he said, so the other person said, what's my collateral? Your collateral is my shor. Oh, okay, the shor is worth $500, the whole choiv is $100. That's fine, that's great. And then subsequently, the Loive, the owner of the shor, is makdishit, kedushas aguf. That's going to be the shibud. The shibud that the malva had for the $100 loan, that unfortunately is vitiated, null and void, gunish. Is this a moral or ethical thing to do? We're not talking now about the ethics and the morality, we're talking about the legality. The legality is that the hegdish overrides the shibud, the lien, and that lien goes away. Similarly, person borrowed $100. What's my collateral? Oh, I have a huge amount of frozen noodles, which are delicious. You sell it out in the marketplace, or maybe frozen pizza, which is, of course, all common stick. Until, yeah, I guess you get you can get gluten-free pizza. Okay, we're talking about the good old days. Anyway, so a person went and gave a stack of pizzas as his deshibud. That's worth more than $100, no problem. The problem is, it comes Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, all that is chometz, and boom, becomes osir ba'ano. So what's the din now? So that's chometz moitzi b'dei shibud, mafkir b'dei shibud. The lien that attached to that chometz originally now goes poof. And unfortunately, the Malva has no lien on any property at this time, and he's going to have to hope that the Loiva has other property to satisfy the loan. And finally, what's important for us is the Shichrur Machir Yeshibud. Person lends money, and he says, what's my collateral? The collateral is my Evid. Oh, that Evid is worth more than $100, no problem. And then what happens is that the owner of the Evid frees the Evid, so there's no more Shibud. Okay, so what does it have to do with our Gemara? What it has to do with the Gemara is, here's not the shichur based on my freely going and being shachur my eved.
Emancipating
my eved. It's talking about a case where the borrower, the loive, unfortunately knocked out the shem va'ayin of this eved. As a result, mechuyev b'shichur, that shichur is moitzi b'dei shibud, even though nebuch there is this loan which is outstanding. Okay, so what is it? Again, what does it have to do with us? Ah, we have a situation over here that the husband has a shibud on this eved. What's the shibud? The chiyuv of the peiros, the chamur masakin, that when a husband and wife get married, he gets the peiros from the nechsim uluk. Fine. What happens if she is meshachrer the eved? So now we're not talking about that she did it from her own free will. We're talking about that unfortunately she knocked out the shein or ayin, where the Torah is mechayiv a shechrur. So even though his rights undermine her rights because she doesn't have the income stream and she doesn't have the right to go and sell the eved because it's already post takonas usha, but those are only all related to the shibud that she owes to her husband, that the husband gets the income stream in the form of the peiros, and to strengthen his rights, the Chacham said, not only that, she can't go and sell it. But since the Torah is mechayev a shichrur, that shichur overrides the rights of the husband, and therefore the eved goes free, even post takonas usha. That's where we left off yesterday. So now the Gemara says, based on what you've just said, since there is a machloikis between the two brises, and the first brisa says, oh no, no, loyli, not the first. The second brisa says, loyli ish, v'loyli isha, so l'choyri le'me d'rova tanoyi. According to this halacha of Rava that we just concluded, that he said that shechur mafkia midei shibud, and the brisa that says loy liish v'loy liisha holds that the shibud is so strong that in fact the shechur is not mafkia midei shibud. The konas usha is strong, and therefore this what Rava said now is incorrect. And therefore, if you do have a situation where there's a malv and a loive, and the loive gave a lien on an eved for purposes of paying off a loan, even if the loive attempts to go be meshacher, it's not going to help. Either the shechur is bottled, or even if it's not bottled, but if and when the loive doesn't pay, then the malv can go and grab the eved, just like any time you have lekuchos, right? Anytime you have a malv and a loiva, and the loiva has property, and the loiva sells the property, that property has the lien attached to it. So after that, the malv can go and attack and attach that property, even if the loiva has already sold it.
So they can claw it back.
Claw it back. Very good. You're cooking with gas. So getting back to our Gemara says now that perhaps that's why the other brisa says loyli ish v'loyli isha. That even though the Rava said this, maybe the other brisa disagrees with Rava, and he holds that shechur is not mafkir midei shibud. So tumor lema the Rava tanoi. To tumor lai. The kuli al misal Rava. Everybody holds in a normal situation. Avad the Rava is right. Hegdish chomet shechur mafkir midei shibud. V'hoch, in our case, is an exception to the rule. Al nu rabbanan lishibud debal. If this was a halvor type of shibud, where you have a lien on the property to pay a choiv, mafkim de shibud. These three supersede any type of human lien that was handed out, a human-made lien. However, this is a lien that the Rabbanan instituted. What is the lien? Number one, for the peiros. And subsequently, they enhanced the lien by saying not only does he have the right to the peiros, but he could also invalidate any type of sale that she's trying to make of the keren of the property. Oh, that Rabbanan, they were so almuah, they so strengthened that shibud the baal, that here we do not say the shechar mafkin the shibud. Normally, shechar avad is mafkin the shibud, because everybody agrees to rava. In this exceptional case, the shechar is not mafkin the shibud, and therefore the shibud is stronger than the shechar, and the eved would not go out lechirs, according to that second brisa. The ibo yisayim, and I have another pshat in understanding two brises. The Kuli Alma. Less Lulani Tanoi.
So the rabbis were mafki at the Raisa.
What do you mean? How
would the Raisa could go out, the Hebbit would go out, and the Tanas Usha
supersedes.
So you have it Rabbanan be Mavato.
So that would be a big, big problem. How can you do that? So the Pshat is Azoi. What the Rabbanan did is said, in the Torah it says that only a rabbi has the din of freeing an Eved b'shem v'ayin. So if one of you guys were to own an Eved, and I would go and give the Eved a punch, I would have to go and pay for the damage. Yeah. But the Eved would not go l'cheres. What the Rabbanan are saying is that she doesn't have the absolute right to this Eved, that she is now considered to be the owner. Her ownership rights have been diminished as a result of the peiros, coupled with the Takana Susha. They are so shvach, she's not the owner now for purposes of the din of Shem V'ayim. So the din of Shem V'ayim, the Torah, remains totally intact. A person that is a full-fledged owner, Avadi Yot V'Shem V'ayim. But she's not the Shem V'ayim, she's not the rabbi any longer. Why is she not the rabbi? Or not? Because of the fact that her...
So the Eved can never leave under Shem V'ayim because of that? Meaning like it's not... So they could
as long as they are married, if and when the marriage terminates, and now she has sole ownership of the Eved, and then she gets so frustrated because her husband divorced her, and she gives a punch to the Eved, so then not only did she lose her husband, she's now going to lose her Eved. Sometimes she's happy about losing the husband. Well, anyway, the Ibo Yisayim, a noob shot in the two brises. Tekuli Amulesh Lahani Tanoi, the Konasusha. Both Tanoim reject the Tekunas Usha. They do not hold the Tekunas Usha. In other words, they hold that the Tekunas Usha is not the halacha. You remember Barry asked at the end of yesterday's shir, did it happen or didn't it happen? And the answer is, either there's a machlokes whether or not there was such a Tekunah, which would be difficult, I mean, historic fact, did it happen, didn't it happen? Presumably, since Igmar said there was a Tekunas Usha, it happened. However, the Gemara from time to time asks, once you have a Bezdin making a takona, how can another Bezdin come and be mevatlin unless it happens to be greater chachma u'beminyan? And we take it as for granted that anytime you have a takonas chazal, there has never been another Bezdin in later generations which have been greater chachma u'beminyan. That being the case, so then if you're saying that there's no takonas usha, how could that be? Because often in the takon itself was built in that if it's accepted by the rank and file of Klal Yisrael, it will then become enacted and legislated as permanent halacha. If, however, if it was never accepted by the rank and file, then it can fade away. You have said something similar to Gabe, the Shemen Kusi, Shemen Goyim, where there was a tekon initially, just like you now let it go and use their wine, not because of Yayin Nesa, because you shouldn't fraternize, etc.
Because our Yayin Mishim Bitam goes out, Bitam Mishim Yayinim. That's the Xera.
Okay, so you remember, but by Shemen there was also such right, Xera, and that Shemen Xera doesn't apply. People are allowed to go and take Goyish Shemen all the time, plus with a Heksha to make sure that it's kosher. But you can't go and take Goyish wine, even if it's kosher, because of the fraternizing, the Isser of getting together, Tarus. Anyway, so it could be that it was built into Kanas Usha that if it's not accepted, it falls away. And maybe that's what both Tanoim hold. If that's the case, so what's the Machloikis in the Praxa? That famous machloikis of kinyan peiros kinyan guf. We normally attribute that to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Our Gemara, in fact, says that it's a machloikis tanoim. What's the machloikis tanoim? Look at Dani tanoim. The Dani we learned in the Brisa. How moicher avdoi li acher upasak imoi amanashi yishamshenu shloishim yai. You have a mocher and a lokeach. The mocher owns the eved, sells it to lokeach. they agree to a price, to a deal, and then the mocher says, but on one condition. What's the one condition? I need this eved for 30 more days. After the 30 days are over, it's yours, lock, stock, and barrel. I just want it for the next 30 days. Why do you need him for 30 days? I'm moving, I need him to go and clear out all my cellar and all the things that have accumulated over the years. I need him for the next 30 days. Okay, fine. It's yours for the next 30 days. That's, and then immediately after the 30 days end, it'll automatically transfer to the lokech. So now what happens? What happens during those 30 days? If either of the two owners, who are the two owners? The temporary owner, the one that was the owner for the last 10, 20 years, but he's going to continue owning the Eved only for 30 more days.
The owner in possession.
Owner in possession. Then, of course, then there's the ultimate owner, that's the lokech, that already paid for him $1,000 or $10,000, whatever, for the Eved, who really owns it. So the Gemara is comparing this to a case of Kinyan Peiris and a Kinyan Guf. The previous owner, who is entitled to use this Eved for the next 30 days, that means he has the Peiris for the next 30 days. Oh, so he has Kinyan Peiris. Masha Ein Kein, the permanent owner, the one that bought it, he's now the Kinyan Guf man. So remember, we just said now that that's going to be the Machloikis in the two Brises with Kinyan Peiris and Kinyan Guf. So now we're going to look at each one individually. What happens now if the Eved is working for the first 30 days for the old owner, and they got into a rage, and boom, and the
punch out happens,
and Nebuchadnezzar the Shein or Ayin comes out. So what happens now? So the Meir Oimer Rishon, Rishon means the former owner who's now the 30-day owner, Rishon Yeshem Dim Yoyim Yomayim. Okay, so I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. I talked about Shein V'Ayin. Put the din of Shein V'Ayin aside for a moment. We're going to talk about Yom Yomayim. What's Yom Yomayim? If you have the Torah or HaShalom, and even if you don't, it's a short pasuk. What happens if you have an Odoin, a master of an Eved, who goes and gives a deathly blow to his Eved? Now, Chas V'Shalom, anybody that kills anybody is a din of Ritzicha. And if you have two Eidim and Hasro and the whole Gesheft, then Chas V'Shalom, that person will be executed for Ritzicha. However, there is a drop of leniency that the Torah gave a master of an Eved. And that is, Ach im yoim o yoimayim ya'amoid. What happens if this Eved, after he's gotten the deathly blow, he's in the IC unit at the hospital, but he's able to live for another day or two, which Gemara means, says that means an amisles. Amisles means 24 hours. If he does not die instantaneously, or within 3 hours, or 6 hours, or 8 hours, but only after 24 hours, layukam ki chaspehu, then you don't give the death penalty to the owner. If giving the deathly blow, to the Eved would have caused the Eved to die within 24 hours, then yes, we take the Odin Lemisa. However, if the Eved is able to live beyond the 24 hours, then there's a special dispensation. He does not get Misa.
One second.
This is only referring to an Odin with his own Eved. What happens if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, goes and gives a punch to somebody else's Eved, Limoshel, and that Eved lives for the next 3 weeks, and only 3 weeks later does he die from that deathly blow? He's still Chayv, because he's a Ritzeach. You don't have to be a Ritzeach. There's no halacha that has to be instantaneous. It's like some of the medicines. Delayed reaction. He gave a deathly blow today and he only passes away a week later. Rashi even says, even if he passes away 3 years later, doesn't matter. If all the doctors and all the Indian chiefs say the reason why he died is because of that initial blow, he's been Nebuch in a coma for the last 3 years, he's been brain dead or whatever. We all know it was that person that gave the deathly blow. And normally the halacha is, he's a Ritzeach, he gets Misa. In our case, however, because of the fact that he is the Odoin, if the Eved lives beyond 24 hours, no Misa for the Ritzeach, for the Odoin.
What is a special dispensation? Because
why?
He's the owner of...
Do you have an email address for Rabbeinu Shalom?
Rabbeinu Shalom@gmail.com. Sometimes it works.
You can ask him. But you stay in the title.
It's a small thing. Yom or Yomayim.
Yeah.
1 day or 2 days. I mean, so which is it? Is it 48 hours?
As I'll say, my recollection is that it's telling you of the din of Amisles. Amisles, as you know, means 24 hours.
Right.
And the reason why I use the term Yom Yomayim, if he passed away all within 1 day, or extended into the second
over
day,
two days, over 2 days, over 24 hours.
From 9 o'clock this morning until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. That type of thing. Okay. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara now. So what the Gemara says is, so who has that special leniency of the Yom Yomayim, that if after the deathly blow, the Eved lived more than 24 hours? Does that apply to the 30-day rabbi, or does that apply to the permanent rabbi? So the Meir Imarishin Yeshu Din Yom Yomayim Neshu Tachtav. Kasavra Kinyan Peres Ki Kinyan Agoftami. Even though he no longer owns the Kinyan Agof, it's officially registered by the local municipality that the owner of the Eved is now the Lekeach, but since he has the next 30 days usage, he's the Kinyan Peres, he's the Kinyan Agof, and therefore he gets this leniency of the Yom Yomayim.
Is he considered a Shomer Chinam during those 30 days? Because does he have any responsibility to the welfare, to the upkeep of the human being, to his ability to...
The same requirements and responsibilities that a normal Odin has to his Eved, he would have vis-a-vis this Eved. Reb Yehuda Omer, Sheini Yesh Levidin Yom Yomayim, Sheini meaning, of course, the ultimate Lekeach, the one that bought it that's going to have the usage shortly, Neshu Kaspoi. That's his kesef, it belongs to him. The reason why the Gemara uses the term Kaspoi is because that's the lashon of the pasuk. Ach im yoim o yomayim yamoid lo yukam ki chaspoi hu. He has the din of kesef. Oh, so who's the real kaspoi? Who owns the keren? That's the ultimate owner of the lekeach. Says the Gemara, kosav ki nipeis laki ki nigoftami. Even though the original owner has it for the next 30 days, I mean, this is Kurdish, that's just the usage of the animal, but of the Eved, but it doesn't really own the Eved. So it's the second one. So if the second one would get to give a punch during the 30 days, even though he has no utility for the Eved, no usage of the Eved at this time, because it's all in the hands of the original owner, nevertheless, he's the rabbi, and he would go out. So what do you see? He holds kinyan tesef, lav, kinyan peiris, lav, kinyan guftam. Fine. Rabbi Yosi Oimer, Shneim Yeshnam Bedin Yom Yomayim. Both of them get that leniency. Why? Zem Neshu Tachtov, vis-a-vis the original owner, he's Tachtov, he's working for him. Zem Neshu Kaspoi, and as far as the second one, that's his Kesef. So now, why should they both have the din? Says the Gemara, because Rabbi Yosi is Sapkele. He's really not sure. This is a big machlokes throughout Shas. Is Kinya Peis, Kinya Guftami, Ilav, Kinya Guftami? He doesn't know. And apparently Rabbi Yossi holds the Bate Dinam don't know. So now when we want to administer the death penalty to this person, since the Eved lived more than 24 hours, and I'm thinking to myself, is he the Odin? I don't know. Could be. And if he's the Odin, he gets the 24-hour dispensation. Is the other guy the Odin? I don't know. Could be. Since it's a suffering the Fashis, of course, on trying to kill the right Seyach, suffering the Fashis, I can't go and kill the Ritzeach, either the first Odin or the second Odin, until I know black on white that he is gets the dinamisa. Since I don't know, so we have to be mixed.
Well, Rabbi Yehuda say that a Lokeach is a Kohen, he can give him Truma, even in those 30 days.
That's not a Kula, that's would be a Chum.
Right,
because if he's not a Kohen, then Chasha
Shem. I'm saying if the Lokeach is a Kohen, yeah, the previous owner was a regular Yisrael,
mm-hmm,
and so now during those 30 days he's kinyan, he's kasvo. Mm-hmm. Does that extend to the level that the new purchaser can feed him truma during this 30 days?
I hear you loud and clear. I think the answer to your question is, again, of course, you have to look at Rambam,
right.
But based on our Gemara, the suffix in the foshes is lahokul to chas v'shom, to go and kill someone unless they have clarity. I can't do that. I have to be mekel. To allow the Eved to go and eat truma, I have to have clarity, and I cannot allow him to eat truma, because if he's a Zohar, Chas v'Shalom, he's not allowed to eat truma.
Okay.
Reb Lezer, so there would be the suffering the Foshes L'Hakel, and here would be suffering Chas v'Shalom L'Hachmeh, you have to be...
Suffering Kachim L'Hachmeh.
Exactly.
Truma L'Hachmeh.
Good. Reb Lezer Oimer, Reb Lezer says, Shneim Einan B'din Yom Yomayim, neither of them gets the leniency of Yom Yomayim, and Chas v'Shalom, either one of them that goes and punches out the Shein or Ayin, would Cholila v'Chas get the din of Misa, even though the Eved lived beyond the 24 hours. Why? Neither one has exclusive rights to this individual, and therefore each one is considered to be a non-rabbi. The only one that gets the leniency is the rabbi. Neither of them is an exclusive rabbi, because each one of them only has 50% of the rights. He has the rights to the base. He has the rights to the ultimate ownership. But since they don't have the other rights, Snyder is considered to be the bona fide, exclusive, 100% rabbi, and therefore you don't get this leniency if you're in your mind. It's got to be exclusive. It's not exclusive because he has to share the rights with the other guy. So now before we continue on, how does that impact on our original machloikis between the two brises? So the Gemara is saying is, if you're saying that the fact that both brises hold, remember we are now talking about Yom Yamayim, but now we have to go back to the case of Shein V'ayin. What's the din of the Shein V'ayin? That in both brises it says that the man, the husband, is not moitzi the Eved b'Shein V'ayin. Only machloikis is legabi the isha. Now, if you hold that the husband's kinyan haperis lav ki kinyan haguftami, so therefore he's out of the picture. He's not the kinyan haguf. He doesn't own it. By default, who does own it? The isha. She has the kinyan haguf. Oh, she has a kinyan haguf. That's why the first brisa says that if she knocks out the shein ba'ayin, leisha avaloi leisha. So that's easy. The second brisa holds that in fact kinyan peiris kikinyan aguftami, but even though we say kikinyan aguftami, it's not mamish kinyan aguf, it's kikinyan aguf.
Yes,
ki'ilu, right? So that ki'ilu is strong enough to undermine the wife's rights to the guf. What do you think? You're the one that owns the guf. He has the kinyan ki'ilu or ke'en haguf. That being the case, she cannot be moitzi b'shein v'ayin, and similarly, although he has a kinyan peiris, but it's only kinyan aguf, so he's also not the real 100% owner, and therefore, according to that second brisa, neither the ish nor the isha, because of the fact that the second brisa holds kinyan peiris, kinyan aguf, but it's not strong enough to propel him all the way to the top to be the exclusive owner, and therefore that the eved should go up b'shein v'ayin for him, and her rights have been undermined by saying, oh, can you pay this? Can you go? So even when she goes and knocks out the Shein V'ayin, also the Eved does not go out.
So Reish Lakish is holding like Reb Meir then. Reish Lakish only, Reb Yochanan rather, we said, he's basically a holding like Reb Meir.
Reb Meir of this price.
Yeah.
100%.
And so the Machlokas, Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan, is basically derivative of this Machlokas Tanoim.
And there could be another Gemara that says, Lamech Tanoim, and says Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, that Reb Yochanan holds like this, and Reish Lakish holds like that. And it could be that other Gemara says, no. Both of them could hold like Rameh, but you're right, on the surface, it's exactly like you're saying, because Rameh says very clearly, Kosovar, Kinyu Peres, Kikinyu Neguftam. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shneim, Sheini Yeshna, Bidin Yumayim, Nechu Kasu, Kosovar, Kinyu Neguftam, Kinyu Neguftam. So that's exactly Rabbi Yehuda and Reish Lakish. Whether other Gemaras tie them in, I don't know offhand. One could check out wherever you find Reish and Reish Lakish and see whether they max it. And if they don't, then I'm sure the Mepharshim would ask, why don't we say Lemekit Tanoi?
But so if the slave got hurt by the master,
right,
if the master could keep him alive for 2 days, he's off the hook.
If he gave him a deathly blow.
He gave him a deathly blow.
As long as he's around for more than 24 hours.
Then 48 hours, Yom Yomayim.
Fine, 48 hours. And the halacha is, and I believe the Chazal say Yom Yomayim means that you get 24 hours altogether. Why is it called Yom Yomayim? Because what happens if this deathly blow took place this morning at 9 o'clock? So I might have thought, okay, tonight, after Shkia, after Sechzach HaChavim, then it ends. It says, oh, you might, to say that sometimes it'll extend into the next day, because you go 24 hours from 9 o'clock today to 9 o'clock tomorrow.
So if you kept him alive, then he's off the hook.
He's off the hook in the sense, or not off the hook totally, he's off the hook that he would not be executed. But he would have to go and pay for whatever damage he did, and the damage is that he killed this fellow, so
who would he pay it to?
If there would be no one to pay it to, well, I guess he'd keep it for himself.
Yeah, I mean, if you go out on Kal Chomer, if you go out with Shein V'ayin, if you kill somebody, then, but he has no Yorshim this Eved, so there's nobody to...
Good point. Shkoyach. Okay, so that... Yes, Lenny.
If he kills Shane, it's even worse.
If he kills Shane, what does that mean?
Harry.
Chas Shalom, don't even say something like that. Call him a Chas Shalom. Chum Shredden.
I said it was worse.
It's that... It's the ultimate horror. You can't even talk. It's horrific. Okay, chas v'shalom. Anyway, so let's continue on. Zutimor keman az lehodi omer ameimer. Who is the man the omer of the following memra of ameimer? What did ameimer say? Ameimer. Ish v'ish shemochru b'nichse maluk. Oh, we had the question of or Takanas Usha, the wife can't sell it. Can the husband and wife together sell the Nechsim Muluk? Says Amemer Le Osav Le Klum. Kunisht. Why not? Keman Reb Lezer. It's just like Reb Lezer said a moment ago. But what did Reb Lezer say a moment ago? Kikas Behil. Now, although it says over here, Ish the Ish Shemach Menasim Muluk, apparently they're talking about the Machru Be Avdei Muluk, that they sold an Eved together. Can they sell an Eved together? And the answer is no. Why not? Like Reb Lezer said. Reb Lezer said that just like when it comes to the din of Yom Yomayim, it's got to be ki kaspayu, kaspayem yuchad loy. Same thing is if they want to go and sell, it's got to be kaspay ham yuchad loy. And neither of them have the full ownership of this Eved. Now you're going to say, well, maybe the same thing should apply to two shutfim. Two shutfim, each one owns 50% of an Eved. Together, can they go and sell? Says Rashi, a regular shutuf could, but not the shutfim. Why not? Because Rashi says, in case of two shutfim, each one of them owns 100% of all rights in the Eved to the extent of 50%. But in my 50%, I own every right from A to Z, which means the title, as well as the income stream, right to sell, right to buy, everything is mine. Only 50%. In our case, however, neither of them have the full rights to the Eved, even to the extent of 1%. Because one of them has the rights to the Peiris, and one of them has the rights to the Karen, to the title. But neither of them has the other rights.
So together, they have all the rights.
Says the Gemara, since it says in the Pasuk, Ki kaspayhu, kaspay hamiyuchadloi, neither of them has the kesef miyuchadloi. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Ish v'isha, that's about 10 lines before the wide lines down below. Ish v'isha. Afilu mochru shneim kecha, even if they both got together and said, we're selling this, Evet. They also come. She'en eloi lezeh, v'loi lezeh. It doesn't belong to either one. The emes echon mehem, if one of them were to die, then zehanisha moitzi minar al kuchais. Then that final person would be able to go, the survivor of the two, would be able to undo the transaction of years ago, because neither of them had the right to go and sell. But they don't want shut from the alma. It's different than shut from the alma. The hosim yesh lezeh chede bekulay lito chatsi v'chein lezeh. Each one of them has the right to up to 50%. Aval hocha kulan kenuyin lo leguf v'kulan kenuyin loy leperos. He has the exclusive right to Peiris, and she has the exclusive right to Kuf, but neither have the right vis-a-vis the other one. So therefore, sefeilt, we have a chisorin in the requirement of the ki chasmiyu, kasum yuchadloi, and therefore they cannot sell it even together. But regular shutfim could, says Rashi. Which is, bear that in mind, because we're going to get back to that in a moment. So now the Gemara continues on. Man tan lohad tan rabbanon. I have another braisa. Misha chetzi ev v'chetzi ben choyrin. They are not yoytze b'rashi evarim she'en choyzer. Means a shein v'ayin or any of the other 22. Whenever you say shein v'ayin, it really means all 24 evarim. We always refer to shein v'ayin because that's explicit in the Torah. The other 22 is only based on drashas chazal. So v'zok the Gemara, who now is man tana of this brisa? If you have an eved shoshnei shudfim, ein yoytzin b'shein v'ayin rashi evarim. That's a blazer that we had about a minute ago. That what? Mele Amar Blazer Kaspim Yuchadloi. The Gabi the Din of Yoim or Yoimayim. He requires it to be Kaspim Yuchadloi because it says in the pasuk Ki Kaspayhu Hachanami. Same thing when it comes to Hilchois Shichrur. Then that we're talking about being Yoitze B'Shem Va'ayin. Also Avdei Hami Yuchadloi. It's got to be his Ata. Now it's not because we learned the word Kaspoy, but because when it comes to Shein V'ayin, there also it says, "Oh, Yeshein Avdoi Shichaso, the Chofshi Shalchenu Tachas Einoi Tachas Shinoi." There too, the Torah uses the expression Avdoi, so it's got to be Miyuchad Lai. Now the question is, when it says over here the Shnei Shudfim, isn't that contrary to what Rashi said before?
Exactly. I know that. 100%. If alternate days he works for different partners, then on Monday, the Monday partner knocks him in the mouth, he loses a tooth. On that day, he had 100% ownership of that Eved. Why doesn't he go free?
Very good. So because of your question, the bottom Toises says that Rashi said before, the Ish v'Isha, selling them together, they do not have the status of Shutfim. Those are the same type of Shutfim that we're talking about over here, that one owns the Kinyan Kaspay, and one, not Kinyan Kaspay, has the Kinyan of Peiros, the other one is the Kinyan of Guf, and that's why even together, if they knock out the tooth or the eye, it would not be Yoytze B'Rosh Yivan. See, if you look at the last choices. Ish v'Isha Shemachru B'Nechzim Olof, that's the previous Gemara of Neymar, Pirish B'Kuntris, Toledomi L'Shutfis De Alma. It's not like regular Shutfis. It's a very nice way of expressing it. He has the 100% rights up to 50%. And v'chein l'zeh, same thing the other shutuf. Avahacha kulin kinuyim lo gov v'kulin kinuyim lo peiros. And therefore, like a miyuchad lo l'zeh v'lo l'zeh. Says now Tosef inyan zeh yesh loimar. Now the last case of the evad shushnei shutfim to mesamach shulzeh gov ulzeh peiros. We're talking about the same type of scenario. Although the Braisa Tanur Rabbanan Misha Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chayin Bchein Eved Shal Shnei Shutfim sounds like what means Eved Shal Shnei Shutfim?
Alternating days.
Exactly. That each one owns 100% up to 50%. No. We're talking about an Ish V'Isha situation where neither of them has the full. It doesn't have to be Ish V'Isha. It could be like we had the case before that someone sold his Eved, but Al Menashe Shal Shnei should stay with me for 30 days. Again, he has the total rights to the Kenyan papers. The other one has the total rights to the Kenyan Gulf, but since neither of them have the Avdoi HaMiyuchadlai, that's why the din would be that you cannot go, it would not be Yoytze Rosh Yivar. But two regular Shutfim, yeah, they would be Yoytze Rosh Yivar. Like you say, the alternate days, he had Monday, he had Tuesday, he had Wednesday, etc. And with this, we've concluded that whole fascinating sugya of the Takanas Usha, and the Shein V'ayin, and Yemir Mayim, and now we go back to more traditional Mishnah and Gemara of Bava Kamma. A lot of this we have learned already, either expressly or at least in concept. You recall that one of the five Tashlumins is always Boishes. Our Mishnah is going to tell us now that when it comes to Boishes, you can have objective amounts, and you can have also subjective standards. Let's see what the Mishnah says. Hatkeh lechaveri, someone who blew into the other guy's ear, for instance, he took a shofar, or he took him to a chasana and he had him stand right next to the band and he wouldn't let him go. Or, Rashi says, also he just gave him a makkah, he hit him right next to his ear.
We're
going to talk about him on the Amid Bey.
Yeah, exactly.
Come back again, Baruch Hashem. He'll be back.
He's coming on the change, he hit him on the other ear.
So Hatkeh lechaveri is someone that caused that type of busha. Rashi says, we're not talking about permanent hearing loss. Or we're not talking, even if we are talking about permanent, we're not talking about the nezik or the tzar shaboy. We're talking just being the busha. The busha that you blew into somebody else's ear, you hit the guy next to the ear. It's a tremendous busha what you did. You humiliated him in front of everybody. So, noisin leisel. Mana is much more than a sela. We'll see Mitchum on the Amid Beis, whether we're talking about a mana tzuri, or whether we're talking about a mana medina, Mitchum will see shortly. So that's about Tekiyah Lechaveh. What about Stora? Stora means to give a patch and put him. You give a patch across the face. No, he's only Masayim, 200. Li Acher Yodai, what happens if he didn't hit him normally with a regular patch, but the back of his hand, which apparently is even more offensive? No, he's only Arba Meizos, and he has to pay 400.
Wow.
Sarah Baznai, what happens if he went, Rashi says, Moshach, he pulled on the other guy's ear, or Rashi says another Pshat, Loshim Poigeg, perhaps he pulled it so much until he caused damage, a wound. Okay. It doesn't mean he just.
He tore it slightly.
Oh, it does. Or Talish Basari, pulled the other guy's ear out. Or Rokak, or he spit on the other guy, the Higir by Roika, and the Roik, in fact, hit him, not on the ground, like by the Chalitza ceremony, it actually hit him. However, Talisa Mimeno, he went and pulled off his coat in the middle of Shisrab. Not that he made him totally Orum, but he removed his clothing in the middle of Shisrab. Again, he humiliated him. Pararoshi Isha Bishuk, where he, Chassid Shalom, he took off the woman's hair covering in the middle of the street. All of these are tremendous bizyoinous humiliation. No, you saw the Arab may as well as 400. Okay. Zehaklal. Now the Mishnah adds something. Hakoyim lefik voidai. It all depends on this person's status. Obviously, if you're making fun of the Rosh Hakul, it's different than if you are making fun of the custodian in back of the shul or something like that. It's different. So now, what does that mean? does that mean that the Rosh HaKul, you have to pay more than the 400? Or the custodian, you pay less? And that's the top Rashi. The Gemara Mefarish, Mitchim, tomorrow's Gemara, we're going to address, is this a Kulahi or a Chumrahi? In other words, are there certain circumstances where you pay less than the 400? Or you pay more than the 400, depending, like the Mishnah said before, HaKalafi HaMavayish VaHamDizbayish. So that we're going to leave Mitchim for tomorrow. However, Rabbi Akiva learns this standard amount goes, these are objective standards, it makes no difference. Like Rabbi Akiva says, and we had this same type of quote a few blot ago from Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, filo anim shem Yisrael. Even the poorest guy, royin oisam ki ilu heim b'nei choyrin shiordim nechseh, shem b'nei Avram Yitzhak v'Yakov. We do not treat an oni any differently than an asher, but rather we look upon everyone as if they were all ashirim at one time. Unfortunately, they have lost their money to a large extent, but nevertheless, we still give them kavod because of all the wonderful things they did when they were wealthy and because of their previous status. We don't say, he's a bankrupt, forget about him. No. Everybody gets the respect that they are deserving and that they had and that they will have. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva equates everyone. And the Gemara in the Mishnah tells us a startling story. A person got very angry at a woman for whatever reason. He pulled off her hair covering. And of course, she was furious. She came before Rabbi Akiva. Like we said in our Mishnah, you got to pay for it.
It's a lot of money.
Well, that's like a
ksuba.
It's twice a ksuba.
Exactly. So don't do it.
Yishalayim would give an Arba Mezuzah for their daughters.
Omalei Rebbe. So Rebbe said, ten lizman. In other words, man. Omalei. The perpetrator, who Rabbi Akiva said, you're guilty, you got to pay 400 zuz. Perpetrator said, Rebbe, that was Rebbe Akiva, ten lizman, I don't have the cash on me, give me 30 days. But also lizman, okay, fine, you get 30 days. Why did he want the 30-day extension? Not to go and collect together some money, because of the following maisa, and that is, Shomra, he would watch her, and waited for her, until the moment that she was, he met us al Pesach Hatzera, that she was at the front of her property. He waited for her until that time. That's how Rashi says the word Shomra means himtila, which is similar to the Rashi in the Chumash, where Rashi says, "Begabe Yaakov," you know, that "Ve'oviv Shomar Es Hadover." Rashi says he was mamtenu mitzapa lirois. When would these dreams materialize? Remember the dreams that the brothers were upset about.
Yosef, Parashas Vayeshev.
Right.
First Aliyah.
V'nei Anachnu Ma'alnum Alumim Seichasode Kam Alumasi, and then every we were Mishtachve or the Kechovim, the whole business. And so Yaakov Puputa, come on, that. But Yaakov Shomar Sadover, he waited to see when this would materialize. Of course, it did materialize years later when they went to Mitzrayim and they bowed down in front of Yosef. Anyway, so Shomar, he waited for her until she'd be Oymedes L'Pesach HaTzeira, V'shibar Ezekad Befenel. And then he walked past her with a kad, a jug of shemen. And the amount of shemen there, we don't know the volume, but we do know the value. Uboy, within that kad was Kisr shemen. Now, Isser is a very, very small matbeah. The smallest matbeah is a pruta, which is Echon Mishmoinim Be'Isser Hitalki. But to get to that Isser, you start off with your mana like we have over here, and then you have your selah and your shekel, and you have your punjoin, until you finally get, and you have your dinner. Very good. Until you finally get down to your little Isser. So the amount of shemen, therefore, was relatively insignificant. And this is now on the floor. And she says, oh, it's all going to get lost. And this shemen looks good for anointing one's hair. She wanted to use it for anointing her head, for whatever type of cosmetic or perfume, or for a hairspray, or whatever. It doesn't make a difference. But what did the woman do? Giltis Raisha. She immediately took off her head covering, and she took her hand and she scooped up as much of the oil as possible, and she immediately applied it to her hair. This former perpetrator, he made sure that there were aiding that was standing there and watched this whole thing. Okay, next day, he comes into Bezin with the two aidim. She thinks she's embarrassed about her hair being uncovered. As soon as she saw the opportunity to get an Isser of Shemen, she threw the whole hair covering away, not permanently, but temporarily, to get this little Isser of Shemen, compared to 400 zuz. At most, I should have to go and pay as an Isser. Well, I have to do times an Isser, but 400 zuz.
But this was in the Chatzer, and this was in the Shuk.
No, it wasn't the
Chatzer. No,
that's right. The Chatzer.
Well, but he took off her hair covering in the Shuk. Mm-hmm. She didn't take it off.
For
he,
sure.
He took it off, and therefore, and it was in the Shuk. It was much more public place. So it was, there was a fierce hostility when he took it off.
Okay, very good, very good. What you're saying is basically what the Gemara is going to say now in the next few words, but in the meantime, you understand where the perpetrator is coming from.
Right.
He wants to say, she doesn't care about hair covering more than an Isser, because an Isser Shemin, that was already enough of financial incentive to go and take off the covering, so why should I have to pay more than that? So says now Reb Akiva, Amalei lo yamarta klum. The defense that you put together with the Tvai Eidim, it's beautiful, but it's worthless, it's irrelevant. Why? Because a choyvu ba'atzmoy, whenever the person goes and gives the chabola to himself, av bishen rishoy, you're not allowed to go and damage yourself. A person's not allowed to chas v'shalom go and make incisions and whatever in his body. But potter, if he did it, there's nobody to pay. You know, you pay yourself. Acherim shechavul bayi, but the other acherim that do exactly the same act, chayom, and they have. Why? You see, he doesn't care about his own body. He's willing to hit himself and to bang himself and to punch himself and all that. He's potter. So why should I have to go pay? But that's the rule. Acherim shechavul bayi chayim. Same thing as a koitzen tiyos, if a person just planted a few saplings, av bishen rishoy, what happens if he koitzes after that, he cuts it down on his own? These are mine. You're not allowed to do that because you're over on baltashkes, especially if it happens to be an eitz machel. Okay? What's the din? But nevertheless, potter, in terms of monetary, there's nobody to pay. You pay yourself. But achim, if other people go and cut down your saplings, you have the gemara earlier, you'd have to pay two zuz, you have to go and pay for it. Achim chayom. See here too. She's willing to embarrass herself, b'shisaram. That's her problem. Is she allowed to go and remove her hair covering? No. The fact that she did it, she bought it. She doesn't have to pay anybody for doing it. She's over on being megala her hair, true. But she's no monetary payment. But other people that do it, chayim chayim, they still have to go and pay her. Nevertheless.
But it still shows her credibility issue. Mm-hmm. When she first came in and complained, you know, woe is me, my head covering was removed.
Right, right.
But then we see later on that it's not really a value to her. It's not really relevant because she took off her head covering for a little bit.
I agree with you. What happens if, how many hands do most people have? Two. What happens if you have a Meshigin, a Chas V'Shalom, who goes and cuts off one of his hands? Does he have to pay anybody anything? No. What happens if the next day somebody else comes and cuts off the other hand? So, you come to bed. You see, this guy doesn't mind taking off the hand. He took off his own hand. So, you know, give me a hand. Why should I have to pay?
Good point.
Okay, so that's exactly what Rabbi Kiva's point.
Good.
Iboilu.
Accepted.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. Iboilu manetzuri tananin, mona medina tanan. We said at the beginning of the Mishnah, hatakeya, the chaveiroi, la chaveiroi, no, isn't leisela, and Rabbi Huda's in the Mirisha Glili, mona. How much is that? Is that a mona tzuri or mona medina? What's the difference between a mona tzuri and mona medina? The word Tzuri is referring to the town or city of Tzur, which they say today means Tyre, T-Y-R-E, and some say that's a city today in Lebanon, that's the same city, or the other nation, it doesn't make a difference. But the point is that mana that was in Tzur was 8 times the value of the mana Medina that was current at that time in Eretz Yisrael. It's like if you would say, there are Canadian dollars and there are American dollars. Typically, the American dollar is worth more than the Canadian dollar. I don't know what the story is today.
It's around 20%, 25%.
Okay, fine. So what happens if you have some Medina somewhere, somewhere out in South America or somewhere in Africa, where they also have dollars? It could be that the American dollar is 8 times that amount, and therefore that's the difference between Mona Tzuri and Mona Medina. This Mona Tzuri isn't 8 times the value of the Mona Medina. Okay, so when it says in our Mishnah, did you have to pay a mana? Which one are we talking about? The larger dollar or the smaller dollar? The big mana or the smaller mana? Toshima, the Ugavra, there was a fellow, the Tokale Chavre, who went back and did this to Ki in the other guy's ear. Also, the Kam Rebuta Nesia, not to be confused with Rebuta Hanossi, Rebuta Nesia was an Einikel. Rebuta Nesia, what did he paskin? So he said the following interesting words. Omale, ho anna, there's me. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili from our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili in our Mishnah said that you have to go and pay mana, combination of me and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, have lay mana tzuri. You got to pay mana tzuri. Shema minos, from this story we see that the mana in our Mishnah is mana tzuri tanan, shema minos. This is the way Rabbi Yehuda Nesia interpreted and explained our Mishnah, that it's talking about a mana tzuri. So we've now resolved the issue that it's taka manitsuri.
What's this ha'ana language?
That's Gemara next, the next Gemara. We're going to get to that momentarily. But now, interesting thing is, the Gemara only asked about the mana. It didn't ask about the sela. Remember the first time in our Mishnah said you have to pay only a sela. So Rashi reminds us, and that's the Gemara that we were referenced on the Amud Aleph, where both brothers Barry and brother Shai said, what about Hanan Bisha? That we had the Gemara back on Daf Lamed Vav, Daf Lamed Zayin, as you recall. Rashi refers to it here, right after the beginning of the Gemara. Anyway, there the Gemara said that the seller that we were talking about was the seller Medina. Seller Medina is an eighth of a regular seller, which means normally your seller has it at 4 zuz, or 4 dinrim. That's the doive, the dalit, has it at the 4 dinrim. Since it's a seller Medina, it's 1/8, which is only a chatziz zuz. And you remember the Hanan Bisha was the one that blew the other guy's ear. And they said, okay, you got to go and pay chatzizuz. He brought a dinner, a zuz, which was worn, and therefore there would normally not be accepted. Exactly. Oskevesh.
Oskevesh, thank you.
Exactly, no problem. And as a result, it was not readily...
Roel Asacher.
Good. So they said, Hanan Bisha, you can't give that coin. So what did he do? He blew in his ear a second time, and then he gave the whole coin. He said, okay, now... I gave the full.
Paid in full.
Okay, and that was the story over there. So that's the case. There, the Gemara Takapaskin, that the seller is a seller Medina. Here we're saying that the mon is a monatsuri, which shows that there's a huge divide now, mamish bikotze ela kotze, between the two. Because the difference, as we said, between a monatsuri and a mona Medina is usually that your monatsuri, excuse me, is 25. Sorry, it's 8 times larger than the mana Medina. 8 times larger. You see, Rashi says right after Gemara, mana Medina, shminis shema mana tzuri. Every mana tzuri has in it 8 mana Medina. Okay, now, how many sloim do you have? We're talking about a cell in the Mishnah. How many sloim do you have inside a mana? You have altogether 25. See, if you go to the first Rashi, mana tzuri, Chof he sloim, which is kuf zuz. 25 sloim, which is 100 zuz. So now if you're talking about 25 sloim, that's in a manatsuri. Now we're saying that we're not talking about a manatsuri, we're talking about a sela medina. How much is a sela medina? Sela medina is 1/8 of a sela tsuri. The sela tsuri in turn is 1/25th. The mana medina is 1/25th. Of the monetary, so therefore you have 1/8 times a 25th. 1/8 times a 25th is 1/200th. So it's not a difference of, as you would normally learn our Mishnah, sela to Medina, sela to mana, 1/25th, because a mana has in it 25 saloim, that's the first Rashi. Here you're talking about a monetsuri vis-a-vis a sela Medina, and therefore you have to add another factor of 1/8. So it's not only 1/25th, it's 1/8 of 1/25th, it's 1/200th. So that's a big distance between the first Tana of the Tekiah and the Behuda of the Mana. Okay, anyway, getting back to our Gemara now. Barry asked, what type of Lashon is this? This is going to occupy us now for the next 5 minutes. We're 6 lines after the beginning of the Gemara. Mai ho anoh har b'yos egli. What does he mean? Ilema hachi ka'amalei hu anoh dechazisich v'ha Rabbi Yosi ha'glili d'amma manatsuri zil havlei manatsuri. Remember, what was the case over here? We sort of toshimadu hu gavra de toka leilachavrei. Somebody blew the other guy's ear, came in front of Behuda Nasiya. So now he says, ho anoh, the way the Gemara is learning right now means, ho anoh, I saw it with my own eyes. You don't have to bring any eidim, you don't have to bring any documents or certificates or any type of videos, I saw with my own eyes. And we have Rabbi Yosef Glili on the Mishnah, in the Mishnah that says Manatsuri, the combination of the two of us, you gotta pay a Manatsuri. Is that the Pshat? If that's the case, Ilim Hach Kamale, Ho Anno de Chazisich, I saw you. For Rabbi Yosef Glili of our Mishnah, the Omer Mana, and the Mana means a Manatsuri. So lovely Manatsuri, that's why you should pay a Manatsuri. Remember, what you're saying is the aid Nasa Dai. That the person who actually saw the incident, he can also decide the incident as dying. But Tanya, didn't we learn in the Brisa? Sanhedrin Shiro Echa Chihorigas and Nefesh. He had the Sanhedrin out. They were standing in the street, and they saw Chas V'Shalom a Meiser Tzich, somebody killed the other guy, a murderer, Rechman L'Islam. Mikzos and Nasu, Eidim Mikzos and Nasu, Deyonim Divri Reb Tarfon. Now we want to adjudicate Nebuch this Maser Tzicha. What we're going to do is, we're not going to have all of the Sanhedrin all be Eidim and Deyonim, because we hold Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. So what we're going to do is we're going to designate a bunch of them as being the Dayanim to decide the case. And thank you very much. We're going to designate some of them as the Dayanim to adjudicate the case. And others we're going to go and have them be the Eidim that are going to testify in front of the Dayanim. This avoids the Eid Nasa Dayan, because each one is going to wear a different hat. He's going to wear an Eid hat, and he's going to wear a Dayan hat. The Eidim are going to go and testify in front of the Dayan. All of them have the status of Eidim, because they all saw the Maiz Ritzicha. Therefore, they're all disqualified, and you're going to have to bring other Chavri Sanhedrin that were not there at that time and did not see the Maiz Ritzicha. So what do we see clearly from this price? That we avoided the issue of Eid Nasa Dayan by splitting them up. But even Reb Tarfon agrees, Avol Eid Nasa Dayan, nobody allows an Eid to be a Dayan. That's why Reb Akiva disqualified all of them. You have to bring Kulam Eidim Hemein, Eid Nasa Dayan, bring new Dayanim to decide the case. And Reb Tarfon says we can split them up. But everybody holds Eid Nasa Dayan. So Ibazoi, how did Rabbi Yehuda and the Siyah say about himself? Well, I was there, I saw it. Together, basically, Manatsuri, we got to pay Manatsuri.
Rabbi Yossi Glili is much, much earlier than Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Rabbi Yossi Glili is a peer of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh.
Absolutely.
So how could he say, me and Rabbi Yossi Glili, they're not contemporaries, it's different centuries.
No, he's not saying that we were Edom together. He's saying, based on my visual observation of the story,
and the authority of Rabbi
and the Shulchan Aruch, which says, we pass in like Rabbi Yosef Glili.
Okay, thank you.
Two together, no problem.
Okay,
you have to pay money to it. Everybody clear? Good. So Gemara, and for the Gemara, Kita Aval, Eid Nasa Dayan, like Omer, nobody holds an Eid Nasa Dayan. Everything more, you're 100% right. Kitanya Hiki going Shiro Ubalaila. Ooh, Leila Mebedina Ninu. When these Echevri Sanhedrin were standing outside, why were they standing outside? You think they were standing there talking politics? They were standing outside because it was Kiddush Levana time, and they wanted to make sure to go and say Kiddush Levana. So everybody's standing outside, and Nebuch at that time, Reuven ran after Shimon, Reuven went bang, bang, and Nebuch killed Shimon. Rechman L'Islam, So now we have Machlag, because they Nasa Dayan, Lo Nasa Dayan, how you split it up? Do you split up, or that you have to bring to a totally different Sanhedrin that raised the Kiddush Levana the night before, or they're going to say Kiddush Levana the next day, or whatever. So how does that change anything? I'm sorry, it's my purpose. What does that change? So Rashi explains what it changes is. If it's that they saw it during the day, everybody 100% agrees that an Eid cannot be a day. The question is, when did you see it? Did you see it at night? Did you see it during the day? What difference does that make? So let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi is about 10, 12 lines from the top of the Amud. Shiro'u b'layla. The Bezdin is closed at night. They cannot start a new proceeding at night. They can continue and finish off a proceeding that started during the day, but they can't start a proceeding at night. So they saw the Maaser Ritzicha, and everybody said, sleep well tonight. Match him tomorrow morning. We're coming back to this. Okay, Ulamachras, Kishaboyin Lodun. Now they have to be done. Ein Donan El Alpi Shmur. Nobody just saw it now within the last 5 minutes. Everybody is going to have to go and do it based on either their own recollections or people testimony that we're going to hear from new Eidim that are going to speak. Lefichach, Torech leMiktosan leHayid. That's why Reb Tarfon says that we're going to need some of them to be made. We're going to have to split it up. And according to Rabbi Kiva, he says, all of them potentially could be made, and therefore none of them are qualified to be Dayanim in this case. V'mein Shem Elegimel. And if there are only three Dayanim altogether, Torech Lahoishim Achem, the Rashi is a bit schwer.
He's 23 for
exactly. So the Mepharshim talking about the Rashi. You're right. V'mein Shem Elech Gimel, or in the case of normally we'd say Chav Gimel, you don't have enough. Torech Lahoishim Achem, Ulahoid Bifneim. What you're going to have to do is say, according to Rabbi Kiva, that says all of them are disqualified. And even according to Reb Tarfon, if I don't have enough, if there are only three, for instance, and one and all three saw, so I can't split it up. So you'll have to go bring in other Dayanim together with the one or two remaining Dayanim. I'm sorry, Bifneim. And two of them will have to go and say Eidus. That's when it was at night. Avrol b'yoyim, oisin al pi horiya, v'reb tarfin miyad, Reb Yehuda Nasi, or Reb Yehuda Nasi, it should be k'reb tarfin svirale. Meaning that if you're talking about it's happening during the day, then you can go and start the proceedings right after the Master. Oh, you just saw the Master Tzicha come right into Bezin. In this case, I would say, Ein Shmiya Doimler Iyah, that I just saw with my own eyes, is stronger than the Shmiya that I'm going to hear from two Eidim. And therefore, the Eidim could go and be Dayanim and could decide the case right now. What the Gemara is therefore saying is that when do we say Ein Eidin Asadayin, when it didn't happen instantaneously right after the story, but it happened the night before? Or now you have to come on to classical Eidus, Ein Eid Nasadayim. However, if the Dayanim just saw it with their own eyes, they don't need someone to go and repeat in front of them what I just saw. I just saw myself, Mr. Shkoyach. I saw what was going on. I know what the rule is, and therefore Eid Nasadayim. So now when Reb Yehuda Nasi is speaking, it's right after the story. It was during the day, and immediately after that, the nitka, the one that had the busha, goes and said, Reb Yehuda Nasi, you just saw with my own eyes. Yes, I did. I saw with my own eyes. Apparently there was a second aid there too, although the Gemara doesn't describe that. Based on that, I saw it. We don't need any aid further. Maybe one more besides himself. And Reb Yehuda Nasi said, Manatsuri, based on us together, that's the din of, you'll have to pay a Manatsuri. So therefore we have now resolved the kasha from that Reb Tarfin and Reb Akiva. They're talking about Dafka, that it was Balayla, and then you do need the next day Eidim that are Mayid, Ein Eid Nasadayim, or if you just saw it in Arkid, you're going to see it was right after the story took place. He had seen it like Toich Kedei Dibur, so to speak. Then you don't need Eidim to testify, Ein Shmir Doimler Iyah, and that's good. So that's Terrace number one. Terrace number two is, the whole Kasha, the whole premise is faulty. If you buy the same Mahachik Amalei, what he was telling him is, Ho anno to sphere the Kabyos Hegelili, the Omamanatsuri, the Ho Sahari to Mishavi Bacha, so Havli Manatsuri. What Behuda Nasir was telling the person, the Nitka, the person that had the Busha coming in front of him, he said, today is your lucky day. Because I, Paschalik, like Kabyos Hegelili, maybe if he went in front of another Rav, he would Paschal like the Tanakama of that price that Noisim Leisela. He says, I am a student, so to speak, on this halacha, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Monitori, and I hold that view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, even though I'm two or three generations later, but I paskin like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And Vasadi Masadi Bach. And you have over here Edom that have just said testimony that in fact the Mavayish was Tekea be Ozne Shil Chaveroi. It was Elhavli Monitori. Finished. So with this, the Ano is much more, shall I say, soft or innocent compared to the way we thought it meant originally. Frankly, Mara, so now we're done with Manatsuri and we're complete. But now the Gemara is asking Akasha under Rabbi Kiva. Some Rabbi Kiva, the Ein, Eid, Nasa, the Ayon. Why did he say that all of these Dayanim are disqualified and we have to bring other Dayanim and let these Dayanim be the Eidim? I Votani, we learn about Rabbi Kiva. Vehika Ishes Reheyu the Evan Oy Big Egroif. You have a person, Chas V'Shalom, that hits somebody else with an Evan with a stone, or Be'egroif with his fist. What does it say at the end of the Pasuk? V'la Yomus V'Nofal Mishkav. Okay, so we're talking about a Chas V'Shalom, a potential for Maisa Ritzicha, or at least a Maisa Hezek. So what happened over here? Shimon Atimni Oymer, why does it say Be'evan Oy Be'egroif? Ma'egroif Miyuchad. Just like a fist is mosul le'eda le'edim, meaning edim, of course, are the edim that saw this ma'isa hakoh, and the edim means the dayanim which are now adjudicating this case. Both of them can take the egroit and see whether or not this fist of this individual is a strong fist, meaning that this guy is a toffee, and this is an egret that could be a deadly, fatal type punch. Of blow, punch. Af kol, the same thing applies to the Evan. In fact, Rashi is even greater. Af the Evan, shemosel eidol le'edim, that we have to go and examine the Evan. Just like the egret cannot get lost, because the person who's coming into Bezin, he has the egret. The Edom saw it, and the Edom can look at him and look at his Egrev and say, yeah. what's the purpose of this? Says Rashi, because what happens if a person gave a light tap to an individual who unfortunately was very, very fragile. He was already 119 years old. He was only 65 pounds. All you have to do is push him
and
blow on him. He's chas v'shalom going to fall. He's chas v'shalom, he can die. So then we don't say that the fatal blow came as a result of the guy punching him. We say it's a result of the fact that this guy is of a very fragile, delicate nature, and therefore the guy would be caught. Just like the egg rife, I can measure and assess whether this is a deathly blow type of egg rife. Same thing as I can assess the stone that was thrown. Was this stone the type of stone that the Arabs throw at the Jewish cars? How many people have gotten wounded and Khalilah killed because of those stones? Or was it really more just a pebble, which a normal person is gornish? So that's what the purpose of the evident egg rife says, Shimon Atim. So what's an afkimina? Says the Gemara, prat the yotze mitachas yada edim. If we're now in front of Bezdin, and we say, where's the Evan? We want to see the Evan. And the Evan and the perpetrator and the victim say, sorry, the Evan is not here. We don't know where the Evan is. It got lost in the shuffle. Then says, Shimon HaTimni, you cannot pass in this case if you don't have the Evan. Mosr le Eidu uli Eid. Omer Rabbi Kiva says, Shimon HaTimni, I don't know where you're coming from. V'chibefnei Bezdin hiko, shiyoidin kamiko, v'almaiko. By the case of the egg rife, did the Bezdin go and witness the actual blow of the fist? How many times did he hit him? After all, maybe it just wasn't one punch, maybe it was 25 punches. Did they see that? And on what part of the body did he hit him? Did he hit him just on his toes? Maybe in Mal Shoyka, maybe on his leg. Rashi said Tzipa Nafshi is a special Rashi Kulvade. Tnuch. Kenegra Lev, maybe a valve which is next to the heart. Chas v'shalom says Rashi, v'noyechu lechabul misham. If that tenuch chas v'shalom is tampered with, chulila, the person can easily die. So, did they see where the force of the, what the force of the punch was? How many punches he gave him? Where it landed on the person's body? No. V'oid, harishadoch of his chavei merosha gaga, merosha bira. What happens if somebody else causes somebody else, chas v'shalom, to die or to be wounded by pushing him off the roof of a gag of a regular house, a marisha bira, from the top of a tower? Umeis, and he passed away. Bezin holchan eitzel abira, abira hoy leches eitzel bezin. Do you say that the bezin has to go to the scene of the crime and see how tall the bira was and how tall the gag was where he fell down from? V'oid, what happens if nafl? What happens if that whole bira fell down in the interim? Why did you have to go and rebuild it so that the Bezin could see the scene of the crime? Oh, that's what the tower used to look like, the same size. Come on. Ella says, Rabbi Kiva, na. My egrev miyuchat shumasa le'edim. The edim have to be able to say, we saw the deadly force, and we can tell you the egrev is strong, and he hit him 25 times, and he hit him in the belly or in the stomach or wherever. Of course shumasa le'edim. But it doesn't have to be masa le'edah. Only the Eidim. So what's the prat? That the Eidim never even saw the Evan that was thrown, because the Evan fell to the ground, and there were probably 25 other stones or pebbles on the ground at the same time, and they couldn't therefore measure the strength of this particular Evan. Then you're potur. So we have now machloek between Shimon HaTimni and between Rabbi Kiva as to whether the Bezin itself has to be able to measure and assess the egroif, or the evan, or rely strictly on what the edim testified in court.
So, is that what's known as the gag rule?
The gag rule. Oh, very good. Beautiful. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, Ketani Mias, what have we learned from this price? So we're going to make one diuk. When Rabbi Kiva started addressing Shimon HaTimni, what did he say to him? V'chibefnei bezdin hiko, shiyoidim kam hiko. Or where and how many, and I'll show you, Yitzip and Avshoy. See, he asked him rhetorically, in the case of the egg rife, did the Bezin actually witness the crime of the punching? Says the Gemara, Ketoni Mias, it uses that expression, Omler Bekiva, it's Masha Yiko Befneim. But what happens if, says Rabbi Bekiva, were the person, the perpetrator, to have punched in front of us, the Bezin, Einasadayim, then we would be able to pass him, because we would have seen it with our own eyes. Didn't you just say, Rabbi Kiva, that ain't nasa dayin? How is he using these rhetorical words? Was the perpetrator punching in front of Bezin. Who cares if you be punching in front of Bezin? If you punch in front of Bezin, it's worthless because the dying cannot be the aid. Everything more of the Reb Shimon HaTimni Kamar. He's saying you, according to you, Shimon HaTimni, that you say that has to be Mosul li Eida uli Eidim. So let me ask you, did the Eida see the actual Maisa that took place yesterday or a week ago when the person went and punched him? Avadarat. So that's therefore he's saying, according to you, Shimon HaTimni, that you require be in front of Eidim, Eidim, just like the Egroif that punched was not in front of the Egroif itself, the physical Egroif was there, but the actual Maisavo Egroif was not there. So the same thing applies to the Eidim. You don't have to have that in front of us. So therefore, he's just talking rhetorically, Alibir Shimon HaTimni. For Leilei Sfira later, Kiva holds, even if it would be in front of the Bezin, Bezin has no right to make the decisions as to the evidence. All they can do is take the evidence that's presented and weigh the evidence. But they're not the ones that are going to decide that if this is an Evan, this is an Egroif, that's not their job. All the Edom have to do their job in front of the Dayan.
So Shimon HaTimni holds Eid Nasadayim? Is that how we're going to
That's apparently the case. Exactly right. He holds Eid Nasadayim.
Can you pronounce his name Shimon HaTimni?
That's a very good question. The average individual sees that and says it's Taimani. But the Rashi in Masechtas Tanis, when it refers to Shimon HaTimni, says, Mitimna Hoya. Why does Rashi tell us that? Do I really care that he comes from Timna? Because he's saying it's not from Taimun,
which is south of Arabia. It's Timna, which is in the Negev.
Exactly. So these are two separate places. This is Timna, and this is Taimun. If he came from Taimun, he would be a Shimon HaTimni. And if he would be from Timna, which he was, he's Shimon HaTimni.
Since you call him Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, as opposed to Shimon HaTimni in the beginning of the Brisa.
Yeah.
They had a, I guess one is contemporary with Rabbi Akiva, a Brisa, a Mishnah, the other is the voice of the Gemara.
Or it could be that this is a lack of full editing. Anyway, have a wonderful day, everybody. Zagi Bench and Hatzlach.